Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Coram Deo Church. And every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking about women and pornography.
Yes, we are. We, as you may recall, did a podcast a few weeks ago about pornography. And Monica sent me a message and said, hey, there's some further things that I'd love to sort of talk about there, especially from the women's side of things. And so I said, Monica, would you come and talk about them with us? So we have our friend Monica here in the studio with us. Monica is a part of Coram Deo Church. And I just really appreciate your willingness to come and be part of the conversation today.
Yeah, thank you for letting me come and be a part of the conversation. I was really excited.
I'm most excited about the fact that you clearly identify yourself as you said when you came in here, this is God's story, not mine.
Yeah.
And that's exciting to me, just that you see your life in the context of Jesus is doing something here.
Right.
And so it's fun to tell it with that
framework. It makes it a little easier. Yeah.
Can you just give a little background to your life, Monica? Who are you? How old are you? What's sort of, you know, before we get into sort of the details of your story, just where are you at in life right now, and how's God sort of written his story into yours?
Yeah. Well, I am Monica. I am 21 years old. I'm graduating from my undergrad program this weekend, and I'm moving on to grad school here at Grace University in Omaha, and I'm majoring in clinical mental health counseling. I currently work with alcoholics and drug addicts with mental illnesses, so he's really giving me a heart for those who have an addiction and struggle with addiction, and that's through the work that he's done in my life. So, as previously stated, I'm here to talk about pornography and how that has to deal with women. I am a former porn addict of 5 years, actually, and I'm fairly young, so this is kind of a struggle for even young folk. So, I want to be that voice for those who struggle currently and haven't, been able to find the courage to come out about it. And it's hard, and there's a lot of shame behind that, so that's why I'm here, and hope I can be of help to any woman or man here that needs to, get this sin out. So,
well, I appreciate you clearly have, even in the conversation we've had thus far, you have the emphasis on the importance of bringing things into the light and letting Jesus bring forgiveness and healing.
Definitely. That's
so,
key.
Yeah. So we want to hear more about that. Narrate your story. Where did this addiction start, and how, and what were sort of the contours of it that you feel comfortable sharing?
Yeah. There's a lot of context behind that. But when I was younger, I was exposed to a lot of things that took my innocence away when I was younger. Things that have happened to me, things that I was exposed to. So in light of that, I was kind of wired to think that this was normal behavior, to think about sex constantly, to be lusting, even at a young age. So, obviously that's not typical behavior of a young kid, but that's just something that I thought, that's what people think about. But as I was growing up, I felt conviction, this isn't what children do. They don't think about sex. And why am I thinking about it when I obviously don't really have any experience? I've just seen it before. I saw my first image of a pornographic image on a computer screen. And I still know what that looks like in my head. And I was very young. And so that kind of, again, that wired how I thought. And again, I grew up a little confused about that. So wasn't really sure. And it wasn't until I was able to earn money that I bought my own computer in middle school, just about to enter into high school. And that's my first time I was really looking at pornography when I could. And obviously it was in secret. My parents didn't know about it. So, and then from there, it was just casual here and there. And then it grew to a point where I was looking at porn maybe 3 or 4 times a day, staying up all night just trying to find something. And then that's when I knew, like, okay, I have a problem, and I didn't know who to talk to about that. And so
what happened to basically bring you to the point of A, being willing to talk about it and confront it, and B, experiencing God's redeeming grace?
During that time, the time that I told someone, I'll get to that in a moment. I grew up in the church, but my parents weren't really, you know, let's go to church every Sunday. Let's go to church on Easter, and then you can go to VBS and Wednesday nights. We'll drop you off. So I was going to youth group every week, and so I was hearing the gospel. And I know that that had something to do with the conviction that I was having. Like, I shouldn't be looking at this. And I just felt a lot of shame behind that. I struggled a lot with my body image because I know the women that I'm seeing on these in these films and these videos, I don't look like them. And it looks like that's what men are into. So I was really hard on myself for that. And I know this isn't how I should be living, especially if I do believe that Christ has redeemed me and purchased me. That's not what he's called me to do. So I can't quite tell you how, but I was just having a conversation with my mom one day. We were doing laundry in my room, and we were just talking, and I told my mom what had happened to me when I was younger and some of the things that I had struggled with. And she told me, well, let's get you into counseling because, you haven't told anyone this for like a decade or two. That's got to be hard. Let's get you into counseling. So I went to counseling, and then that was the first time I actually told someone about my addiction because I'm like, I can't hold it any longer, and I know this is a safe place, and you aren't going to tell anyone, so I'm going to tell you right now. I have an addiction to porn, and she said that, you know, like, we're going to work on this, but I want you to be thinking about telling your parents about this. And that was one of the hardest things I think I've ever had to think about, you know, telling my mom, hey, mom, you know, like, this is a struggle that I deal with every day in the house and when you're around and I'm in my room. And the shame that was behind all that. But when I got home from that counseling session, I told her I couldn't wait, you know, with the agony of waiting. So my mom kind of just accepted me, you know, just as I knew she would. But she said, you know, any way I can help you out, please let me know. And she ended up taking my computer. I gave it to her, had her change my passcode on my iPod, and that was restricted so that I couldn't look at anything. Downloaded some software, so whenever I did get on my computer, you know, that was kind of a hard road thinking about that now. And another interesting story, I was being mentored by a high schooler that I went to, a college student that I went to high school with. Her name is Betsy. She's a really, really dear friend of mine. But she was kind of helping me figure out during that time what following Christ looked like. What does it mean to be a Christian? And how do I live that out? How do I follow Christ? And she was a great example. So she was someone that I definitely felt comfortable telling my struggle to. And I remember we were in a Starbucks coffee shop. It's like the best place to talk about these kinds of things.
With all the people right next to you.
Yeah, right next to you. I said, oh, Betsy, I mean, I trust you. This is really scary for me because I haven't really told anyone before. But, you know, I have addiction to porn. And she said, well, I have too. I had an addiction to porn. And she just, like, took me under her wing and helped me out. And she became my first accountability partner. And, like, God's grace in that is just amazing when I talk about that. Like, one of my closest friends struggled with that too, and she's a female. So, I don't know. Like, it's just really cool to see God's hand in all of that.
What did the process look like of beginning to put that addiction to death? What were the things you had to confront, both behaviorally and sort of inside you as far as desires and drives and you know, sins that needed to be sort of rooted out and dealt with?
Right. All right. Well, first of all, for me to see the victory over that sin, I had to recognize sin as it is. Like Paul says, I didn't know what sin was until the law was revealed to me. Like, that's what, when Betsy came into play, you know, showing me this is what following Christ looks like, and this is what not following Christ looks like, which is kind of what you're behaving like. You know, let's recognize sin as it is. Also, you know, counseling definitely helped when I had to talk about the things that happened to me in my past, really confronting that and the feelings associated with what had happened. I recognized patterns in my behavior that anytime I was feeling lonely, I would turn to porn. Anytime I was feeling bored, I would turn to porn. I was tired, I'd turn to porn. It helped me go to sleep at night. Anytime I was feeling anxious, I would go to porn. It's just like this instinct that I had, like, go to porn, go to porn. Anytime you're feeling anything not good, just go to porn because it's going to help you feel good. So, yeah, recognizing my patterns helped me uproot those issues. So my counselor was giving me, like, this metaphor, like, when you have a plant, like, a thorn bush, and it's not growing any fruit, you know, anything worth, anything worth growing, you would dig that up, uproot it, and then cover that with something, you know, worthwhile, and that will, you know, get rid of it, and then you can use that soil for, to plant anything that would cause fruition. So basically, like, if you uproot that sin, it's gonna hurt, and you're gonna feel a little something missing. You know, something was there, and it's not there anymore. And what am I gonna do? When you fill that with God's word, God's truth, that's true healing. And they find that sin no longer lingers there. You know, it has no power there anymore.
Let's talk about that, because that's, I think, a lot of people who are listening and who struggle with porn and the shame that's associated with it. There's two pieces of that. One is, you mentioned the law was important for you to be able to call this sin.
Yeah.
And some people, I think that just, it just feels like that's going to increase their shame feeling. Mm-hmm. So what would you say to someone who feels like, well, the more I confront this, the more ashamed I'm going to feel of it. Is that true?
I mean, there were times when I felt a little more shameful, like, gosh, God, I am not at all who you want me to be. Well, what do you want me to do? But it's not about what you do. It's what Christ has already done for you. Mm. And I think that's, like, the best thing I could say to you. It's going to be hard confronting that sin. Obviously, there's a lot of shame. Recognizing that shame allows you to call it what it is. And, I don't know, work on what you need to work on, but also recognize that Christ is enough. Like, He has gone exactly what you've gone through. He's been tempted. He's been in your place. Like, he stood in your place, took on your shame. He went through all of the temptation that you could ever imagine, and he was killed for it, and he took your place. He died, and he resurrected, and now you live with him. You live in his victory. You live in his freedom, and you don't have to keep sinning. You really don't have to. And I always use that, like, cop out, like, I've done it all this time. I'm just going to keep doing it again. I know I can say sorry to God all I want. Like, I'm not going to do it again, but I know that's a lie. Well, when you believe that it's a lie, obviously you're going to fall into that trap. But when you truly understand and believe what Christ did for you and what he sacrificed for you, it transforms you in a way that you're like, okay, I don't have to live like this anymore. I can literally just get out of this pit with Christ's help, obviously. He's going to help me out of this pit, and I can walk away and never look at it again. Hmm. I don't have to go back there.
So the gospel.
The gospel. That's right. The moral of the story, the gospel.
That's beautiful. The other question I wanted to ask you is, when you were describing that plant metaphor and the idea of pulling something out and then you're going to notice something's missing.
Oh, yeah.
I think for some people, that's the struggle is maybe not so much the shame and calling it sin, but the reality of, like, how would I live without this? Or what would I do if this is gone? Or I'm going to notice, it's going to feel like something's been taken away. And I think a lot of people, that's where they short circuit the process. Yeah. Is because it just they can kill it for a day or a week or a month.
Yeah.
But then it sort of feels like empty. And so what helped you persist in sort of the ongoing repentance and faith until you were able to see more fruitful things growing?
Yeah. So when you uproot this sin, you're going to feel a hole there, and it's going to hurt. And I, time and time again, I tried to turn to something else to fill that hole, yet I still wasn't feeling fulfilled because it wasn't really a part of my identity. It really wasn't who I was. Christ is who I am now, and he is my identity. And when I'm not submitting to his desire for me, I'm going to have consequences, and I'm going to feel the discipline, that he does as a father to us. He loves us as a father. And when we don't submit to his desires for us, his commands for us, we're going to feel hurt, you know? And that's the only way that I learned was to, you know, like, like a baby who touches something hot. They learn not to go there anymore. So after a few times, I learned, you know, doing drugs isn't the way to do this. It's not turning to another substance. It's not turning to another person. It's turning to Christ, my Redeemer, the one who got me out of the pit in the first place. I mean, why did I turn away from him? But then again, you don't want to beat yourself up when you're already down. You know, rest in the truth that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ.
What does temptation look like for you now in this area? And how do you deal with it?
Yeah, okay. Temptation in this area looks like a lot of different things now. I'm really more driven to go toward another person. So when I'm feeling lonely or tired, I'm more likely to turn to another human being for my source of comfort. Again, I know that that's not where my true comfort comes from. It's forfeit. It's not real. And I know it's not, but yet that's my fleshly desire. I also notice, and I think this is also along with what society has kind of taught us, is like just sitting in front of a TV screen or in front of my phone. I'm not looking at porn, but I'm looking at something, and I'm looking at it for hours, and I'm not doing anything. So I admit that that's a sin that I have, just meandering about. I would say that turning to another person, turning again to technology when I'm bored or lonely, that's one of my struggles of and temptation. Even though I'm not really turning to pornography, I do have lustful thoughts. Even after being sober from porn, I mean, that's not going to go away. And I have to come to that realization. Like, I'm still a fallen creature. I'm not going to be able to do this on my own. And I have to admit that I'm not completely over the sin that God redeemed me from. Like, I'm still sinful. Christ has gotten me out of that pit that I was in, but I'm still going to have memories of what it was like, and I'm still going to be tempted to go back there. And honestly, there's really nothing you can do apart from praying to God, you know, for strength. There's nothing I can do apart from reading God's word and his truth, and staying in godly community. Though I do have the tendency to go to another person, God created us as relational beings, and we're to be relational to one another and glorifying God.
You seem really collected and on the other side of this addiction. And what I appreciate is that you're calling it addiction, and then you're even using words like, I've been sober from this. And so you're actually calling it what it was specifically for you. We know that there's people in that category. There's also people that are just tempted towards sexual things where they wouldn't necessarily call it an addiction, because it actually might not be. It might just be their main sexual temptation or sexual sin. But so number one, just thank you for calling it what it is. And as you're on this side of that journey and still, fighting temptation and claiming victory in Christ, what is your message? You know, I can see it on the other side of this podcast right now. So there's, the stay-at-home mom who's sweeping up her floor, listening to you talk about this idea.
Oh, yeah.
And she's terrified about telling her husband about her pornography struggle. What is your message to that woman?
That's hard. And it's especially hard because I'm a single 21-year-old female. But what I would say to you is that it's important to fear Christ above fearing man. And I know that, you're committed to him, right? I'm sure that he wouldn't run off and say, "How dare you look at porn? And how dare you struggle with this sin that nearly every human struggles with?" You know, like, I wouldn't fear man more than I fear Christ. I would obviously tell another female and get guidance from her, probably a mentor if you have one. If not, you can find one in the church. There's a lot of women who would be willing to take you under their wing and help you grow in that area. But above all, I would make sure that you have given this to Christ first, and laid that at his feet and said, "God, I am struggling with this, and I honestly don't know what to do. I don't know what to say to my husband. I don't even know what to say. I don't know what to do in front of my kids. I don't know what to tell them when they're older. How am I going to confront this sin? And I'm fearful that my kids are going to struggle with this too." And I would just say, first and foremost, you have to give it to Christ before it can be taken care of. I mean, and that's another thing, you know, codependency is a problem. I don't know if I'm going to get into that, but like, just also be careful, when you're telling your husband too, you have to go into that with wisdom, but I'm not married and I don't want to go on into it.
Yeah, no, that's perfect.
An area that I'm not.
So Monica, we know from all sin that sin is just, we don't want to face sin. Mm-hmm. It's dark. It's dreary. Why do you think this particular sin, women with pornography, stays in the dark even mm-hmm. longer?
Yeah, this is very difficult. But I also, one thing that I would say is that society has also made this a man's struggle. And so for women, we wouldn't like to admit that this is a man's struggle and I'm struggling with it and I'm a woman. This isn't right. And so I think that we kind of personalize that. We take that on, like, I am abnormal. I'm not like other women. How am I supposed to go to another woman and tell her this struggle that I have when I know that this isn't what women struggle with? I mean, that's really hard. And again, like I was mentioning, when I was viewing pornography, I was personifying that, even like taking that on, personalizing these women. I'm not like these women. How can a man love me if I'm not like these women, when I can't do these things that these women are doing? Or I don't know, you kind of take on those images and you make them all, and they become your identity. And it's very shameful. It's a very intimate sin. Very like, you are alone, pleasing yourself alone, looking at people that you don't know who are doing a very intimate thing. And it's just a very, very deep secret that it would be very hard to tell another female, like, you know, this is something that I'm struggling with, when I know that this is a man's struggle, or this is something that women shouldn't be doing. This isn't a woman's way to act.
As you described your story, there were some formative influences early in life that maybe predisposed you toward, you know, interest in sexuality mm-hmm. at an age where that would have been maybe unusual.
Yeah.
What would you say to parents who are just trying to, I think there's also parents listening to this podcast mm-hmm. going, gosh, you were looking at it on your computer in your room, and your parents probably didn't know, and they think you're, you know, they think things are fine. So advice or insight would you have for parents who are trying to ask, like, gosh, mm-hmm. I want to faithfully protect my kids from this in whatever ways I can.
Yeah. And I think first and foremost, you have to ask questions. That's something I wish my parents would have done, because they knew where I was in my room. I was all alone and I was there for a really long time. And I wish that they would have, you know, sat me down and asked me, hey, what's going on? Like, do you feel comfortable sharing whatever's going on in your life with me? Asking those real questions and not just like, hey, what are you doing in your room? When you come off like that, you're like, oh, nothing. I'm just hanging out in my room. You know, be very intentional with your questions, and loving and patient. And I think that would go a long way. And that's something I kind of wish my parents would have done, knowing that they were out in the living room and I was in my room doing these things, you know.
How would you describe the sort of feeling of freedom and sort of life that you have now, having put to death this addiction, mm-hmm. versus the shame and the, like, mm-hmm. what feels different? If you, because I think part of what people need is a vision of like what's on the other side of this. Because putting something like this to death is hard, and it's, you know, there's a lot of shame associated with it. So how can you help paint a vision of what I'm aiming? What's on the other side?
Yeah. First, I'll start off what's on the side that they're on. And that's where I remember very vividly. I thought that there was no end. There is not a way out of this. This is the rest of my life, and I'm going to struggle with this the rest of my life, and I'm going to feel this way for the rest of my life. I'm going to feel so overwhelmed by shame. Every morning, I'm going to feel worthless. I'm going to feel dirty. I'm going to feel less than everyone else. On the other side, I can look at life and know that there is so much more to life than being free from this addiction. I know that I can thoroughly enjoy the life that Christ has given me, and recognizing that it is not my life, that it is Christ's life. And I can worship Him and glorify Him in new ways that I haven't been able to do before. I can have relationships with other people in new ways and glorifying ways. I can enjoy a substance, say for, instance, alcohol. I can drink alcohol and not abuse it. I can enjoy it and thank God for it. I can, I don't know, there's just, the possibilities are endless. When you when you join God's team, like when you become his daughter, when you embrace the fact that you are a daughter of the Most High King, like, there is nothing impossible. There is so much for you. And please do not give up hope, and do not believe that you are worthless and that you, there's nothing left for you. When Christ took that and he died for that, you know, he died for you. He put that to death and he rose again and you live with him. Live in that truth that you no longer have to live in the sin and the shame, but you can live in his beauty, you know, and you can glorify him and you can honor him in all that you do.
Monica, I'm curious from your perspective, for the women who don't struggle, but are obviously friends, mm-hmm. you know, like you had other friends growing up probably.
Yeah.
So for the women who don't struggle in this category, what's your message to them?
Mm. The one thing that I could say is that I did have a few friends that knew my struggle who didn't struggle with that. A few things. One, I was shown really tough love. Probably good for me. probably good for an addict. You know, you can't enable them all the time. You got to call out what their struggle is. If they are constantly repeating the same pattern, confront that, but in a loving way. You don't want to, you know, I mean, there were some times when I was shown hard love and it wasn't very loving, but you know, you have to be consistent. And you have to be present for them. And it's going to be very hard for that woman to come to you and say, I struggled with this today. I looked at porn again today. They're probably not going to want to tell you. So you're going to have to ask questions. Again, you're going to want to ask specific questions and you want to ask it in a loving and intentional way. And that will help to bring that sin to light so that they can further uproot it and find the root. Like, why am I still struggling in this area? Let's get to the bottom of it, the root of it, and I'll help you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to bear your sin with you in love. I'm going to walk with you just like Jesus walks with you. And I'm going to be the light to you, that you need. So what do I need to do? How can I be available?
Monica, anything you want to say in closing? This has been really courageous of you and really helpful. So I really am grateful for the story that you've shared and for God's grace in your life. But what do you have to say in closing?
Yeah. First, I want to make myself available to any woman in the church who is struggling. If you need prayer, if you need to talk, if you are just unsure of where to begin, that's okay. I do want to be available. And I want to help. I want to point you to some resources. Triple X Church, great resource. They have some filtering on there that you can put onto your browser and your computer and your phone. I'm not sure. I haven't looked at that place in a while, but they did have a few resources. Fight the New Drug is actually a really good resource. It has a lot of, they have like battle journals, kind of like you can write the last time you looked at porn, what was going on in your head. So you can track and journal these patterns and these behaviors. Definitely take a look at those resources. They're very helpful. I would also encourage you, any woman in the church who struggles with this, who is battling shame and feeling worthless, write on note cards the truth that God says about you. For instance, like I had this written on a note card, you are altogether beautiful, my love. There is no flaw in you. Write that on a note card and post it on your mirror. So when you look at yourself in the mirror, you're not looking at what you did last night. You're not looking at the struggle. You're not looking at the darkness that you see in yourself, but you're looking at God's truth that is revealed to you, and you can accept that as true. You know, like how you're feeling right now, that's not who you are. What God says about you, that is who you are. So I would say combat those thoughts that I know you're feeling with what God says to you and his truth. And finally, just please do not give up hope, and know that you are not alone in your struggle, and that there are plenty of women in the church who have struggled with this or are struggling with this right now. And coming together as a community, we can tackle this sin head on, and we will overcome. We are more than overcomers in Christ, and we can do this together. That's all I got.
Monica, I love your one of the things I love about how you talk is that you're emphasizing a piece of the gospel, which is freedom, victory, joy. Mm-hmm. I actually don't have to go back there. I actually can walk away. That for some reason we have this tendency to embrace, I think, the forgiveness aspect of the gospel and not the freedom, you know? And so, cause we know we need forgiveness, right? But that sort of like, you mean I actually could live differently. You mean I actually could see Jesus redeem and restore and move me in a different direction. Mm-hmm. And so I just love that you're beating that drum and saying like, hey, this is true about you in Christ and Jesus can move you forward and take your life in a new direction. And I'm so thankful for that message.
I'm thankful for that message too. I mean, this is all Christ and his work in me. And if I were in my shoes again, I would only hope that there would be a voice out there for me as a woman. I couldn't imagine, you know, what that would have been like. So I'm just thanking God, thank you so much for giving me this story to allow me to speak through other women in this church. And that blesses me beyond compare. Like, thinking about the hard road that he brought me through, it was worth it, you know? Like, gosh, Christ is amazing, you know, in the life that he gives us. Like, I'm just overwhelmed by his goodness and his grace and his mercy.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in. And we pray that the things that we've talked about might also be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. And if you want to reach out to Monica, please shoot us an email at info@cdomaha.com. And we'll forward your email to Monica and get that to her. We hope that you join us next Wednesday for the Wednesday Conversation.